Blog Talk Radio.
My life was torn beyond repair. I felt so alone, seeing no one cared. You came along, gave me a song to ease the pain and erase the strain. You with no one,
Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome to a special edition of the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, First Baptist of Holly Springs, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am so very glad you have joined us today. We tried to do this earlier this week on Tuesday, and we had some technical difficulties, so we didn't want to let the lesson go. So we came on tonight. This is Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Our normal time for Bible study is Tuesday at 12 noon. But because of the technical difficulty that we had on last Tuesday, we decided that we would again attempt the Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. So we thank you, all of you who are listening to us over the internet, all of you who are listening to us by phone. We thank you for joining the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. Our normal operating hour starts at 9:30 with Sunday school and 10:45 with praise and worship. Our morning service starts at 11 o'clock. But because of the pandemic, we are not able to go into our church building. We have been worshiping on the internet virtually. So we invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Facebook page, and don't forget to click the like button. Hit the like button so that we can stay in touch with us and we can stay in touch with you. Go there. You will find the Sunday morning service, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We are on Facebook Live. That is our Sunday morning service as of right now. And our normal Bible study would be Tuesday, 12 noon. We invite you to come to First Baptist when this pandemic is over and have the experience of worship with us. We are a friendly church. Our doors hang on welcome hinges, and we invite you to come and be a part of the worship experience of First Baptist of Holly Spring. Just a few announcements, and we're going to get right to the lesson. I wanted to point out that on the Facebook page, there is an address by the president of the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, Dr. Lienzo Lynch. He has made a statement on the voices of justice, talking about the injustices that are going on in the country right now. I urge you to go to the Facebook page there and see that address by the president of the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. It is a wonderful address, and I think that you will find it well worth the hearing. We also want to remind you that next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, is Deacon and Deaconess Day. We will be celebrating our Deacon and Deaconess Board anniversary. So I invite you to tune in on Sunday at 10 a.m. Facebook Live as we present our Deacon and Deaconess Day. And then on the fourth Sunday in July is our Youth Sunday. We will be celebrating the youth of First Baptist. That's the fourth Sunday of July. So we want to make sure that you mark your calendars so that you are aware of all the things that are going on in First Baptist. We are continuing our calendar as it is written, and we're going to try our very best to continue to do so until we are able to go back into the church building. And once we're in the church building, what a time we're going to have. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to have a great time in the Lord when we finally do get into that church again. Of course, we want to send our sympathy out to Deacon William Griffin, who funeralized his father today, our very own Deacon Griffin. We thank God for him. It was a wonderful service, a wonderful family. And we just thank God for him, and we want him to know that we share in his sorrow. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you again, God, that you're able to come and bring the word of God to your people. We pray, God, that something be said here today, something be heard here today, will be seed sown in good soil. Long after this Bible study is over, it will produce fruit. We thank you right now, God, and we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our lesson today comes from the book of Proverbs, the second chapter. Proverbs, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. Proverbs, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. The title of our lesson is called Moral Benefits of Wisdom. Moral Benefits of Wisdom. In a fallen world, it's not easy to pursue wisdom in the way it deserves. The world offers substitutes, paths for wisdom, but those substitutes often leave us bankrupt and empty. This is why the first part of this book of Proverbs centers on the importance of wisdom and on the encouraging of God's people to pursue wisdom. Wisdom means living life according to God's rules. When we live wisely, we receive great riches because we are in fellowship with the source of all blessings, our Heavenly Father. And so it is. We often say a good decision is often described in modern times as the wisdom of Solomon. This ancient king, this great man Solomon, raised in a rich African Israelitic tradition. This ancient king of Israel was famous in his own time for his intelligence, and yet he promoted a wisdom superior to his own. He turned people's attention upward to the wisdom that came from God. This week's lesson teaches us that godly wisdom is a treasure worth seeking. We learn that all believers need to go on a search for God's wisdom. Wonderful benefits are available for each of us who search for the wisdom of God. And this is why he wrote these instructions. When Solomon became king of Israel, the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he asked, What shall I give you? Solomon responded, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." Solomon's wisdom. After God granted the request, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the people in the nation. And the book of Proverbs contains some of 3,000 proverbs that God gave to Solomon. Solomon probably spoke many of these when people came to hear his wisdom. In the chaotic days in which we live, men and women need wisdom to avoid the treacherous pitfalls on the road to life. So he says there in that first verse, he speaks as he's talking to his son. And not only is he speaking like he's talking to his son, he's speaking like he's talking to anyone who would hear. He says, "My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." A godly father wants nothing more than for his children to learn how to live as God intended them. Solomon was eager to have his sons and those who would hear his words to live right. This can only be done by following God's word. So in the verse, Solomon says, "My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments in thee." Solomon uses the word "if." That word is a conditional word. "If" makes it clear that his son or anyone in general, they have to gain wisdom. In other words, gaining wisdom was conditioned on receiving and accepting. If you receive, if you accept, then you will get the wisdom and the word. The first step to gaining wisdom is to receive the teaching of the wise. This is actually like a student-teacher relationship. A person or someone seeking wisdom must be receptive to the truth if it's to take root in them. God's word is the truth. Once the student has heard the truth, Solomon says that they need to hide my commandments in thee. The term "words" and "commandments" refer to the wisdom Solomon is about to impart upon his son. The word "hide" means to store up. Once you have heard the truth, you need to store it up, this wisdom, so that it's available to you whenever you need it. Hiding or storing up wisdom indicates that Solomon and those who would hear it values the wisdom. He recognizes that even if the usefulness of that wisdom is not apparent at the time, there will come a time when that wisdom will be needed. We said like this: train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get older, they will not depart from their teaching. It's not necessarily the fact that they learn it immediately, but if they absorb it, if they keep it, if they hide it in their hearts, then when times come that are appropriate, that wisdom comes in handy. And this is what Solomon wanted him to know. That's why he says in verse 2, so that thine incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. On the poetic Hebrew pluralism that was common in Proverbs, the two statements in the verse are similar in meaning, but they have a slightly different emphasis. In the first statement, Solomon says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. The word ear here draws attention to the need for listening closely to wisdom. To apply thine heart to understanding means that the student or the person who's hearing the wisdom not only hears the wisdom, but seeks that wisdom continuously and strives eagerly for it. Here, the word wisdom and understanding are similar, with wisdom being a general term for knowledge that helps us live as we should, and understanding emphasizes the importance of discernment. Gaining wisdom involves more than just the ear. It involves the heart. The heart must also be involved. In the scriptures, the heart refers to our ability to reason and our ability to consider spiritual things. David wrote about this in Psalm 14 and 1. He wrote about it again in Psalm 15 and 2. He wanted us to understand that a heart has to also be a part of the wisdom. A lot of people will go to school and they will hear, but if they don't apply it also to their hearts, it does not come out as true wisdom. And so this is why he says in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after wisdom and lifted up thy voice for understanding. Solomon continues to emphasize the importance of wisdom by again using the word if, indicating another condition that must be met in order to gain wisdom. Solomon said, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. This means to, no doubt, refers to prayer. The verb criest and lifteth convey the urgency of involved in seeking wisdom. We are not to be lazily pursuing the truth. We must cry after knowledge, like someone who's about to perish from hunger who begs for food. Every now and then, prayers just enough alone won't do. We must be deliberate as we know the worth of knowledge and our own need for knowledge. We must also lift our voice for calling out for understanding, lifting up to heaven, expecting and receiving understanding. Not only should we cry out for an understanding, but we should expect to receive an understanding. One of the great and perfect gifts that God gives us is the fact that we have a God who answers prayer. And not only does he answer prayer, he answers the calling out. So when we call out in our hearts, if we call out not necessarily with our mouths, but with our hearts, if we call out to God that we want wisdom, God will grant you wisdom. God will grant you a way to get to that wisdom. In Proverbs 1, 20 and 23, wisdom is seen as carrying out in public areas, longing to be heard, longing for wisdom. But here, we understand this wisdom that we must get. We must cry out to God for it. Many times we are inundated with things that are not wise. So how do we know? How do we pick? How do we choose? We cry out to God to give us an understanding, a clear understanding, so that we may use the wisdom that he has given us to choose right. This is why he says in verse 4, if thou seeketh her as silver and searches for her as a hidden treasure. Once again, Solomon used the word if to show that gaining wisdom is also conditioned on some other things. These other things, he says, you got to seek after her as if it was silver, and search for her as if it was a hidden treasure. You know how we value silver. We know how we value gold and silver. We know how we value money. And we'll do anything for money. We'll go to work sick. We'll stay all day long. We won't take a lunch break. We won't take a vacation. We'll work extra days. We'll do whatever it takes to get the money. We'll do whatever it takes to fill our pockets. Well, what Solomon is saying is that you should have a same thirst and a same desire to obtain wisdom and to obtain knowledge. The problem with the church today is because so many people are being led by folk who don't have wisdom and knowledge, and thereby they cannot impart wisdom or knowledge to those that hear them. So you got one, excuse the expression, ignorant other folk, and then when church is over, you let out a whole group of ignorant folk because they have absorbed ignorant wisdom from one who does not have it. And so it is. We must search for it like it's a hidden treasure. Both silver and gold are valued. We'll go to great lengths to get them. Same thing should be true to wisdom. Too often God's people talk about wanting to know God's word, but you show very little passion for it. People always want to stop me on the street. They want to ask me about a Bible question. The first thing I ask them is, do you go to Bible study? You want to know, but you don't want to search for it. You want to know, but you don't want to go get it. You want somebody to hand it to you. Wisdom does not come like that. Wisdom only comes when you seek wisdom. A lot of times young people, we hear the wisdom of the elders, and they think it folly. And then they go out and find themselves in a situation where that same wisdom could have gotten them out of. That same wisdom that they rejected could have been the very thing that could save their livelihood, that can save their lives, that can save anything that they have if we just listen and apply our hearts to it. We must search after it. We must go after it. We must seek after it. It's the most valuable thing. As a matter of fact, it's the most valuable thing we can have and pursue. And nobody can take it from you. Oh, they can bankrupt you. They can take all your money. They can take your homes. They can take your cars. And your health can even fail you. But the wisdom that comes from God cannot be taken by anyone. That wisdom is yours, God's gift to you. That understanding. That's why he says in verse 5, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. These verses reveal what will happen to the student if they follow Solomon's instructions in verse 4. First Solomon says, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord. The word then indicates that it won't happen. The word then indicates that it won't happen unless you seek it. It will not happen unless you go for it. Only if you do what is instructed by God. Solomon says, if you only receive my words and hide my words and my commandments in you and incline your ear unto wisdom and then apply thine heart to understanding, cry out after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding, and seek wisdom as silver and search for it like it's a hidden treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord. Now, let me take this word fear, because the word fear here does not mean horror. It does not mean scary. It does not mean some monstrous thing. This fear is the knowledge. This fear is understanding. When you have a perfect understanding of who and what God is, and you take these words and you hide them into your heart, then you will know the word fear does not mean what the word fear means into the world. The word fear to us means the reverence, the understanding, the omnipotence, the fact that he the creator and we are the created. We acknowledge that. When you do not have those words, when you do not have wisdom in your heart, then you don't establish yourself with any belief. You're not a part of any kind of concept of understanding or any kind of concept of belief. No matter what religion it is, you got to have some kind of wisdom in order to deal. And without that wisdom, then you have nothing. And that should be a fearful thing. That should make you afraid, because then we will understand, and only then that we'll have a healthy sense of awe and respect for God as we recognize him for who he is. It's extreme reverence for the Lord. Not only would his son or those who would hear these words understand the fear of the Lord, he would also find the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God go together. For a person cannot properly know God without having a profound sense of reverence and respect for God. You must have a respect for the Creator. You must have a respect for He who stepped out on nothing and created everything. You must have respect for those who He created. You must have a respect for your fellow man. So that brings us to another part of this particular writing. He says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Not only is the Lord wise himself, but he giveth wisdom. And that's more than the wisest men in the world can ever do. It is God's prerogative and his only, and is open only to his understanding, that all wisdom that comes from him is a free gift, and he gives it liberally unto us. In addition, God gives us and blesses us with the word of revelation in his will. Solomon went on to say, "Out of his mouth cometh knowledge, and out of his mouth he giveth wisdom and understanding." By the law, by the prophets, by the written word, by those ministers which are called his mouth. These are the things that the Bible are talking about when he says out of his mouth. Out of his mouth in the written word. Out of his mouth through the prophets that he sent. Out of his mouth through the ministers that he sends. The children of men cometh into knowledge and understanding. This is the problem. If the teacher, the minister, does not have the knowledge, does not have the understanding, they simply cannot impart it to you. There is no osmosis here. There is no trickery here. There is no hocus pocus here. You must have someone who has knowledge in order to receive knowledge. It's always good to hang out with some folk who know just a little bit more than you. It's always good to hang out with some people who can enlighten you, who can broaden your mind base, who can expand your consciousness, who can take it, can impart in you things that you did not know, things that are useful that you can use in your day-to-day life. This is why he says that comes through knowledge and understanding. This is what Solomon wants us to understand here. Wisdom speaks diligently. We're living in a time in a world where it seems as if wisdom lost its value. We're living in a time when it seems as if made-up wisdom is what we're dealing with. Our leadership in the nation has shown not to be a thinker. He has shown not to have wisdom. How can a nation survive when the leadership of that nation has no wisdom, has no understanding? I'm not just talking about, again, go back to the scripture. I'm not just talking about wisdom in the mind. I'm talking about wisdom in the heart, wisdom in the soul, wisdom where it really counts. I'm not talking about just having book learning. I'm talking about having wisdom. You can go to school every day and still not have wisdom. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the type of wisdom that comes from the Lord. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Still speaking about the Lord who gives wisdom, Solomon says he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteousness. God shows favor to those who are righteous or those who have right standing with him. For them he layeth up. That means he stores away not just wisdom, but he stores up sound wisdom or the best wisdom or the best advice. God is also a buckler to them that walk uprightly. In other words, he's a shield to those who live with integrity, those who have honorable character and moral courage. The term buckler refers to a shield which is tied around a soldier's arm to protect him for defense against a sword or a spear. Even those who walk uprightly may face danger as a trial of faith, but God is and will be a buckler to them so that if anything happens to them, they won't experience any real harm because they are safe. Verse 8, he keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Here Solomon continues to advise those who would hear of the grace God shows to them. First, he says that God keepeth the path of judgment. The word keepeth means to ground, to keep watch, to make steady, to solidify. The term judgment here means justice. Therefore, the phrase, he keepeth the path of judgment, means that God watches over his own as they walk in the way of justice, fairness, for they may be tempted to turn aside out of the way. And then secondly, Solomon says that God also preserveth the way of the saints, meaning that God guides and protects those who follow his words. Those who are given to his words and those who hide those words, he preserves the way of those saints. This is part of where we are right now. The scripture has caught up with us. Because in verse 9 it says, then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equality, yea, every good path. As we allow the Lord to direct us and call us, call on his help, Solomon said, then shall thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equality. In other words, we will know how to conduct ourselves properly and rightly towards all men. We will understand by the word of God, righteousness and judgment. Righteousness meaning living right. Judgment means justice. Equality means fairness. These principles will guide and govern us in our whole conversation in life. And we will also make a fit for every relationship, for every business venture, being trustworthy in everything as we understand God's word. The reason why America is going through what it's going through right now is because it has not kept the righteousness. It has not kept the judgment. It has not kept the equality. It has not kept the righteous living. It has not kept the justice. It has not kept the fairness. When we go contrary to God's word, then judgment falls on a nation. How can a nation survive? The nation who claims in God we trust. We put it on our money. We put it above our courtrooms. We put it on our federal buildings. In God we trust. But yet there is no God in our hearts. God is not mocked, beloved. He cannot be fooled. No matter how many times you print it, no matter how many times you write it, if it's not real, it doesn't work. And this is why we find ourselves in the situation that we find ourselves in today. The nation is being judged because it has not kept its word and has not followed the words of the Lord. It has not followed the words of God. It has proclaimed to follow the words of God, and it has not followed the words of God. And there were always consequences to trying to flaunt the word of God. So there is no understanding. There is no righteousness. There is no justice. There is no fairness. And when a nation does not have that, a nation is doomed. Better yet, if a people don't have understanding, if a people don't have righteousness, if a people don't have justice within them and fairness within them, that people is doomed. We must teach our children to thirst after knowledge. We must teach our children to go to school. And I think that's the reason why the old folk always say, go to school, get an education. It's not so much that they wanted us to have degrees or to be somebody in academia. I think the reason why they would always say that is because the more learning, the more understanding you get, the better it opens your mind to new opportunities, and it opens your mind to new concepts. So always try to learn something. Always try to be a part of something, because that wisdom is very valuable. Teach our children to seek wisdom. When children say they're bored, give them a book. Not just any book, but give them a book of understanding. Give them a book of wisdom. Give them a book that will help them as they grow, so that they will have a perfect understanding of who they are and whose they are, and thereby they can live the kind of life that God had intended for them to do. God wants us to live properly, rightly, and just toward all men. Toward all men. You know the history of America. They have not lived properly, nor rightly toward all men. So you wonder, why are we going through what we're going through? Here it is right here. Solomon said, if you do those things, you would prosper. He didn't say, then tell us the flip side. But if you do these things, you will prosper. Simply means if you don't do these things, you won't prosper. And this is what Solomon is trying to tell us. We must have that understanding in our business ventures, in our churches, in our communities, in our committee meetings, in all the organizations that we form, all of the efforts that we put forth. It must be put forth with understanding and wisdom. Only then will we be able to fight whatever it is that's causing harm to us as a people. As we understand God's word, it's his wisdom, he will give us not only a right view of justice, but also the desire to practice the right justice and to treat everyone fairly. Following these godly characteristics of righteousness, right living, judgment, justice, equality, fairness, will lead us to what is called a very good path. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be perfect, through furnished unto all good works. Verse 10 says, then wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Here the word heart and soul both refer to the inner man. If you have wisdom, if you have God's wisdom, if you have knowledge, if you have the type of wisdom that I've been talking about, then it should gladden your heart. It should make you happy on the inside. It should make you strong on the inside. Psalms 13 and 2 tells you that. Psalms 34 and 2 tells you that. With this type of wisdom, with this type of knowledge, you don't have to walk around with your head hung down. You don't have to walk around like the bottom has dropped out. You don't have to walk around as if you've been thrown away. You can walk around with your head held high. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. He's about to tell us that wisdom goes in, and joy and understanding comes out. Knowledge is a pleasant thing. It's a delight to learn. And we must teach our children to have a thirst for that, to want to know where they came from, who they came from, who they were before they got here, who they are right now, and who they can be in the future. We have to instill that type of knowledge, because without that, we are basically just treading water. And we have another generation that will go through the same thing that we're going through right now. So we must teach them that knowledge is pleasant. A lot of kids will, they go to school and they'll take the lessons in school, but there's something called homework. In other words, there's some things you got to do on your own. There's some knowledge that you have to seek on your own. School's not going to teach you everything. There are some things you're going to have to learn on your own. You're going to have to pick up a book. You're going to have to read something. You're going to have to talk to somebody. You're going to have to go somewhere else in order to gain extra knowledge or the knowledge that you need for everyday life. So we must think of it as something pleasant. Think of it as something that is soothing to the soul. Then verse 11 says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Here Solomon reveals to us what happens with wisdom and knowledge. Because when we have this wisdom and we have this knowledge, you have the ability to have discretion. You'll be able to look at a situation and see whether you want to be involved in it. You ever been somewhere and all of a sudden something within you said, maybe I shouldn't be here. And you leave, and later on you find out that something not necessarily catastrophic happened, but something happened and you say to yourself, I'm glad I wasn't there. Sometimes God opens our mind, but you got to have that kind of wisdom, to have that kind of discernment, to see what's going on in the world. Don't walk blindly in the world. And you won't see unless you have wisdom. You got to be before you can see. And you got to have the wisdom to see further down the road than just standing. That way you can avoid the pitfalls. That way you can avoid the traps that people set for you. That way you can avoid all the hazards that are in the road. So you have to have that wisdom that looks out and seeks and have that discernment to preserve you. Preserving means to live long, to have a preserved life, to have joy for a while in your heart, to have perseverance, to be able to endure, to take a licking and keep on ticking, as they say. That's what preserve means. And then it says, understanding shall keep thee. That means right now. This understanding is good right now. It'll help you right now. Not only is it a good right now, but it's a good for later. It's a now and later. Amen. It's a now and later. It will give you discernment to preserve you for the years to come, and it will help you right now. Solomon reveals to us what happens when we allow wisdom and knowledge to possess our heart and to possess our soul. When that happens, Solomon says, the joy then is given unto them. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord wants us to have that wisdom in our hearts and to be joyous about it. Discernment will protect you. Understanding will gird you. Understanding will keep you. Understanding will give you the knowledge that you need. And you can't get that knowledge on CNN. You can't get that knowledge on reading one book all the time. I always tell people, when you study the Bible, you need two or three other books. You just can't read one book. You got to study. You got to go into the Word. You got to have the wisdom of the Word. Because only by having the wisdom of the Word, beloved, can we get out of this superstition, hocus-pocus, trickery religion that so many people have found themselves in. Only through knowledge can we break that chain. Knowledge can we give people the full understanding of God. That's why I opened up by saying in the world that we live in, it's very hard to find wisdom and pursue it the way it deserves. The world offers us substitutes that pass for wisdom, but they leave us bankrupt in the end. So this is why we should read these words written by this great African man, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. His wisdom throughout the ages has been given to all mankind, and now his wisdom has been given unto you. I'm going to open the line tonight for those who may want to say something. We got about 12, 13 minutes. I see a few numbers on the board. Does anybody want to say anything before I start calling out any numbers? Mics are open. Okay, let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 1694. 1694, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Hey, Dick, how you doing?
Hello. All right. Yes, sir. That lesson was just food for my soul. I mean, I'm actually traveling, but I was able to tune in because I just got off work. I remember my grandmother always teaching and applying what she has read and learned from the Bible, and put it into life applications and telling us, the younger children, even to her older children, which were our parents, and she would be a person where you would see that she didn't look like she had $1 million. But now that I look at these scriptures, I mean, she was telling us these things and telling us, you know, explaining that, you know, riches just wasn't that check in the mail, and you had to go to work for things, and how you have to thirst and hunger to really want it and find out for yourself, and you'll be a richer person like that. And I think about the 37 grandchildren and the 73 great-grandchildren, and how most of us got that instruction from her. And I can look at a lot of my cousins now, and I can see that in us. But she was teaching to us these same things from Proverbs about true knowledge, about true knowledge. I thank you for that lesson.
You know, I thank God for that because, you know, we are probably the last generation of people who had that type of knowledge, who had that type of understanding. Our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers and our mothers, and we are probably the last generation to receive that. I thank God for you saying that because it brings to my mind the wisdom that grandmother taught us as well. And the question is, and I'm going to ask area code 251, last four digits, 6909. Do you think we're still imparting that wisdom today to our children?
No, sir. We are not.
Well, what do you think we're doing?
We are letting our children run our households. We are not paying attention to what they are doing. We let them do whatever they want to do, and then we do what they tell us to do. We have reversed the situation, and the children are raising the adults.
Wow. That's a bad situation.
We have no wisdom.
Well, I pray that something will change in us, will give us encouragement to do so. I hope that it won't continue like that. I know what you're saying because I have seen it myself. I know exactly what you're saying. I've seen it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I concur. But I pray that something will happen that will change that paradigm, something that will change that whole system back on its back to where it should be. I hope that there will be something somewhere. God will be able to move that away from it because we didn't always have that. That's new.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't have that. That's new. So it can be taken away. It can be.
All
erased.
Our parents had to do was look at us.
That's right.
All they had to
do was
look.
And that was it, right?
That was it.
That was it. Erico 910-5088. Are you on the line? Area code 910-5088.
Hello?
Hello. How you doing? Digging this raining?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go right
yes.
ahead.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I can hear you. Yes, I enjoyed the lesson on tonight. It was Minette Rosa. And I pulled out of it what you was talking about on the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
As far as having, you can have a lot of education, book sense, but you got to have that wisdom of God. That's
mm-hmm.
the most important thing. You can have all the education you want to, but you need to.
Amen.
Very,
well,
much important.
Yeah, it is. There are two kinds of wisdoms. And the wisdom, one wisdom is the one that you learn in school, and then there is the wisdom of God, and then there's another wisdom
mm-hmm.
called mother wit. There's a, you know, to have some type of understanding. It's called mother wit. I don't
mm-hmm.
know what you call it. That's what they used to call it back in the old days. I don't know the correct term for it.
Okay.
But learning how to take care of yourself, knowing how to, you know,
uh-huh.
clean up, knowing how to keep yourself clean, knowing how to, you know, cook, how to do whatever you need to do in order to keep yourself alive.
Uh-huh.
You know, some people don't even have
yes.
that. And that's,
exactly.
that's bad. When you don't have enough knowledge even to keep yourself alive, that's bad.
But
that's really bad.
Whenever I was growing up, I used to hear my elders talk about somebody, like if they see somebody walking down the street or something, they say, that girl there going there or that boy there, that's just an educated fool. Now, what is your take on that? Did you hear that when you were growing up?
Yes, I did. I knew many. I know
about
many
being
educated
an educated fool.
I know many of them.
And see, you know what, Pastor?
Don't call no names. Go ahead.
No, I'm not calling any names, but what do you think about that saying? You heard it whenever you was growing up too, right?
I sure did.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what they were talking about. I had a
mm-hmm.
I was privileged to be raised by two school teachers. My grandmother
oh, okay.
was a school teacher. And my grandfather was a principal of a school, and we all
mm-hmm.
lived in the same house. But you know, in those days, the whole family lived in one house. You know, grandparents, parents,
yes.
children, and so you heard mm-hmm. that all the time. You know, that goes an educated fool. That man's an educated fool. You know, they talk about the preacher
mm-hmm.
like that sometimes. But the thing is, you know, there are a lot of people who are educated, but they simply don't have
mm-hmm.
the sense to apply that education to their hearts. And that's what he meant by store up in your heart. You may have it in your head,
okay.
but you don't have it in your heart. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have knowledge is not good enough. You got to have the
mm-hmm.
knowledge that goes deep into the heart that changes the individual. If the knowledge is just
mm-hmm.
something like a library in your mind,
mm-hmm.
it has no use. But your knowledge should change you. Your knowledge should develop you. And that's what older folk meant when they said that there goes an educated fool. They're talking about somebody who went to school, but it didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
They come out just the same way they went in. It didn't change them.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make them a better person. You know,
yes.
that knowledge that they got is simply head knowledge. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame because God wants us to live better than that. God wants us
mm-hmm.
to have a better understanding than that. What do you think about the fact that I said about the judgment on the nation? Do y'all think that the nation is being judged right now? Anybody?
Pastor Rogers.
Go right ahead.
Once again, it's like the children of Israel. When they obeyed God's statutes and laws. He was with them, guided them, protected them. Said even though we put in God we trust and everything, we're supposed to be a Christian nation for the most part. You know, we have fallen off and have been just went astray. It's that same wrath holds to us. That same, I believe, that same wrath holds to us.
I believe you're right. Anybody else?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
God has a tendency, if we do not do what he tells us to do, he will let us, as old folks used to say too, stew in our own juices. That means you've got yourself there. I'm going to stand here and wait for you, but you need to get out. I'm going to let you see what it feels like. But when you get tired of it, then get out.
We're using all the old euphemisms tonight. Stew in your own juices.
Yes,
that's a good one. I heard that before. I heard it a long time ago. You're absolutely right. I've heard that. And that's what is happening. And unless and until we come back to the full knowledge of justice and the full knowledge of equality, we're going to have these problems in America. It doesn't matter how many times they get together and have these conferences and Oprah's can talk about where do we go from here and all these organizations can have all these beautiful talks about racism in America and things. But you can't legislate hate out of somebody's heart.
You can't
pray hate out of somebody's heart. You can't write a law that says you cannot hate, because people are going to do that. And that, it only it takes God to move that. We can't move that. It takes God to move that. And I think that's a part of the uneducated wisdom. I think that's another reason why we're suffering, because of a lack of wisdom, because they think that they can actually make a difference doing that. They think that if they have enough conferences, if they have enough talks, town hall meetings, if they have enough paradigm shifts, that we can come up with some kind of way to erase racism. Never going to happen. Ain't going to happen like that. It's not going to happen like that. That's fool's folly. That's an educated fool that thinks that. It's not going to happen like that. It's only going to happen by the grace of God. It's only going to happen by those of us who come into the full understanding of God and start using justice on a fair basis, and using the word of God to guide us and the wisdom of God to guide us in all the aspects of our society, whatever it is, whether it be racism, whether it be sexism, whether it be in economics, whether it be politics. We got to let God guide us, because without that, we're just a fool on a mission with no guidance, no understanding. And we already got one of those in charge. So the only thing we can do now is to pray that God will move that out the way. So maybe then we can go back to doing what God would have us to do. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to say? If not, Deacon, are you still driving?
I'm stable now. I'm in my yard.
Can you lead us out in prayer? Can you give us a prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. Thank you for the discernment and understanding and imparting of your word into our hearts and our minds, Lord. Please bless us to use it in our everyday lives, Lord, that we may have it in our hearts and not forget this day, not forget this time, not forget this lesson, Lord. But let us not forget what Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. tried to tell the people, is that hate cannot destroy hate. It's the light that can destroy hate, Lord. Let us have more love in our hearts and our minds, and have more understanding of each other. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another time to communicate in a way that we never have before. Father, we thank you right now for your many blessings. We ask blessings over each and every household that was present tonight, Lord. Bless all the ones that desire to but did not hear this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Deacon Taylor. Thank all of you for being with us tonight on this special study. Next week we'll go back to Tuesday at 12 noon. Hopefully everything will work out right. Also, you can let those who did not tune in tonight know that the Bible study lesson is archived. You can always go back and hear a recording of this broadcast. You cannot call in. You can only hear it on the internet after it's been recorded. But they can go back and click on that link that I have on the Facebook page, and they can hear this conversation. They can hear this lesson. So we thank God for you, all of you who are listening. We pray God's blessing. We pray that you will have a great day tomorrow and that God will continue to bless you as you continue to serve him. We thank you so very much. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
I said, do you know a man? I said, do you know a man? I said, do the man from Galilee.
Yes, he walked out on the water.
I said he come.
Let him see.
Then I said, do
you know the man from Galilee?
I said, do you know Mary's baby? I said, do you know Mary's baby from Galilee? Yes, he
walked out on the water.
I said, mercy, I say, do
know the man from Galilee?
The man of the mighty good doctor. I experienced it, children. The man of the mighty good doctor. I say, the man of the mighty good doctor. From Galilee. Oh, he
walked out on the water.
I said he
from the Red Sea.
Then I said, do
my
Lord have mercy.
Galilee.
Now here's what he done for me. Woke me up this morning. I said the man woke me up, thank God, this morning. He woke me up this morning from Galilee. Oh, he
woke me up this morning.
I said he then I say, do
you know the man from Galilee?
That's old time singing down here, church. Then I say, do you know the man? I say, do you know the man, church? I say, do you know the man from Galilee? Children, I said,
do you
that's
know
what I like about that old time singing.
From Galilee.